جهد من الإنسان ونحن فيها تكسس من الفندنا فازمع السوية بين مها سوية شيطاني من الإسلام ستفيتم جنة بطلعي سعيد بطلعي من الفتي سبنا couple through this job, because in the way of a job, particularly for the need of what she needs or not. We began the prayers of Vasudeva yesterday after the birth of Lord Krishna, when the whole atmosphere became very auspicious. In looking at these prayers, we read the first two of the verses yesterday, 13 and 14. I looked at the texts in the Bhagavatam and also in the Krishna book, in the chapter of the Krishna book, and I saw two interesting things. One was that within the purports in the Bhagavatam, on a few occasions, Prabhupada took the whole text of the Krishna book that describes those specific verses and put it in word by word by word by word by word. And also I saw that these prayers of Vasudeva's in places are very, very difficult to understand. And I found it much easier to understand the way that what he's saying in the prayers in the Krishna book. And again, a lot of what's in the Krishna book was in the purports anyway. So I'm going to read more from the Krishna book, and then some of the purports have some some other very interesting items in it, especially after Vasudeva finishes his prayers and Devaki begins to speak her prayers. It's time to go. When it's time to go, it's time to go. So, in the first of the prayers, the first two prayers that we read yesterday, and in the Krishna book, it's really clear exactly how it's developing, exactly what's going on. So I'll just start with the prayers that we read yesterday, that Vasudeva said. Just try to visualize that this incredibly auspicious atmosphere, and into this atmosphere within the prison of Kamsa was born this incredible child, who was clearly Vishnu. How do we know he was Vishnu? He had four arms. He was fully bedecked with jewels, full hair, necklaces, everything. Four arms, beautiful. Supreme Personality of Godhead had arrived. So Vasudeva first says, and this is what we read yesterday, "My dear Lord, I can understand who you are." Page 25 in there, and page 241 in here. "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of all living entities and the Absolute Truth. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us." So that Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's come and taken his birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. "You have appeared just to deliver me from that fear." That fear is of Kamsa. "You do not..." So we read yesterday that Vasudeva, when he understood that his son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. So Krishna came to deliver Vasudeva from fear, because when the devotees are frightened and when something difficult happens, they specifically deeply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that remembrance of Krishna. Krishna is actually present. Because Krishna is abhinatam namanamana. Not only is he none different from his name, he's none different from his form, he's not different from his pastimes. He is exactly and fully present in these things. So when the devotee is in difficulty, he takes shelter deeply of Krishna, and that difficulty transforms into the most wonderful and secure thing. Tateinu kampamsu samikshamano. And when someone says, how you're doing? He says, better than I deserve. Because what is happening to me is happening by the grace of Krishna. I am under his protection, under his mercy. So he's remembering Krishna. So that misfortunate circumstance turns into a fortunate circumstance by that deep remembrance of Krishna. So you do not belong, Vasudev continues, to the material world. And this is what we read yesterday. You don't belong to the material world. Even when you're seemingly in the material world, you are not in the material world, nor are you material. You are fully spiritual, all times, all circumstances. You are the same person who brings about the cosmic manifestation simply by glancing over material nature. Yadakshita, by his glance, eko bahu sham. The one became many just by his glance. He's all powerful. He is the supreme creator. Aham mevasam eva grain nanyat yat sarasat param. He existed before the creation. And yet, there he is as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So here is, we are more or less, by understanding these first two prayers or texts offered by Vasudeva, we'll understand the direction that his prayers are going to go in. He's going to be telling the Lord and also telling us that although Krishna has taken his birth, or Vishnu has taken his birth, or Vasudeva has taken his birth within the material world, within a prison, he is still the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. We must understand this, otherwise the later pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan will be meaningless to us. We will miss everything. We have to understand this point, and Vasudeva is reminding us. You don't belong to the material world, although you appear to be in the material world. And just to show Vasudeva and Devaki, and us as well, who this person is, he's manifest his forearm form, because this is so extraordinary. But the text continue, but the same point will be made from different points of view. Now this, from here, and for the next three paragraphs, which are quite long, this is included word by word in the Bhagavatam. So I'll be reading from the Krishna book, but you can read it from the Bhagavatam, the same or from the Krishna book. So one may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. Well, yes, how could something unlimited, the all-powerful creator, go within the womb of Devaki? So one may say that. To eradicate this argument, Vasudeva said, and this is the actual translation that Prabhupada is giving here of the text, my dear Lord, it is not a very wonderful thing that you appear within the womb of Devaki, because the creation was also made in that way. You created. Now how is that, that this is parallel to the way that the Lord created? You are lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing process, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Then again you expanded yourself as Chiradakshaya Vishnu and entered into the hearts of all living entities and entered even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. In other words, the argument is given, how can the Creator, who by definition is external to His creation, because He has to be external to His creation because the creation is coming from Him. So how can the Creator, who is must by definition be external to the creation, be created from within the creation? Because Krishna is taking His birth from Devaki, who is part of the creation. So someone could say, therefore He can't be the Supreme Lord. But here the example that Vasudeva is giving is that just as you, the creation, the entirety of the universes, so many universes come from Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and then yet you enter into those universes which are created by Karanadakshaya Vishnu, you enter into them as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then into the creations of the universe, which are matter and the living entities, you enter into those as the super soul of each living entity as Kiradakshaya Vishnu in every atom and between every atom. So you enter entering, you are entering into your creation. But yet, what Vasudev has just said is still true. He is not of the creation, although he appears to have entered within it. So, continuing what Prabhupada said, you expanded yourself as Kiradakshaya Vishnu and entered into the hearts of all living entities and entered even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance in the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way, how the creator of something enters within that very same creation. You appeared to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. By the fact that you're within, you are not limited by that. You are still everywhere and still aloof. In addition to being everywhere, you're also aloof in the spiritual world. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. So you've simultaneously entered and non-entered. So this is the inconceivable power of Krishna. He is simultaneously everywhere, but separate from everything. Everything rests upon Him, but yet He is aloof. Behold my achintya shakti, inconceivable power, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada continues here, because this verse was very complicated, but he makes it very clear and easier to understand here in the Krishna book. The total material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. So the Mahatattva is there and the material energy is separate from the 16 elements. So it's intact even after being divided into the 16 elements. The material body is nothing but the combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created. So when a body appears, it looks like the body is being newly created, but yet the elements, the very thing that the body is created from, exist somewhere else. But actually the elements are always existing outside of the body, simply because earth is there outside, and water and fire and etc. Similarly, although you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode. Where is that abode? There are so many abodes of the Lord, the Vaikuntha planets, unlimited Vaikuntha planets, and there is the unlimited Goloka Vrindavan. But amazingly enough, and inconceivably amazingly enough, although unlimited means unlimited, the Goloka Vrindavan unlimited planet is bigger and more expansive than the Vaikuntha unlimited planets. And not only that, there are unlimited unlimited planets. So these things conceptually do not fit into our finite teeny brains, but this is the inconceivable Shakti of Krishna. So you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki. You are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence, because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. Usually we give the example of the cloud. Ultimately, it emanates from the sun, because due to the sun's potency over the ocean, the cloud, the water vaporizes and the cloud is formed. But that cloud which emanates from the sun, it cannot cover the sun. Due to the cloud, we may not be able to see the sun, but that doesn't mean the sun is covered, it means our eyes are covered. So similarly, the material energy, although perhaps covering our eyes, can never cover the Lord. In other words, Krishna can never be in Maya, and that means that the whole philosophy of Mayavadism is disrupted and is untenable. It is not practical. It doesn't quite make sense how the Supreme Lord can be covered by his own Maya Shakti, and therefore, and the impersonalists will say that this happens by his own will. He allows himself to be covered. So how peculiar, that is even more peculiar, because he allows himself to be covered, and then for his enjoying pastimes he takes up being a pig and a worm for his pleasure, as if he's got nothing to do in the spiritual world or something, and he has to make himself suffer as his lila for his pleasure. No, it just simply does not add up. So the sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material nature, but actually the three modes of material nature cannot cover you. Right now, as Vasudeva is speaking, he's saying that you appear to be in the material world, in the land of the three modes of material nature, but no, you are not. It is not covering you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers, all of you. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. Like the king who appears to be in the prison when he's doing a tour, but he's not in the prison, in fact. He's the king. And the third paragraph, because this was text 15 through 17, so there were three texts being covered by this. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence, and therefore everything becomes illuminated. We can understand from Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord, and from the Brahman effulgence all creation takes place. It is further stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is also the support of the Brahman effulgence. What verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Brahmanohi patishtaham. Krishna says that I am the Brahman effulgence is resting upon me. Originally, he is the root cause of everything. But persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts the material qualities. Such conclusions are not very mature, but are made by the less intelligent. So to understand, Krishna Prabhupada is saying that one must be very intelligent. And we these things perhaps seem so obvious to us, but it is because we have heard from a great philosopher who has heard from a great philosopher who has heard from a great philosopher. Because I've also seen books, I've seen a Ramayana written by someone who was a very famous politician, and he was saying that Lord Rama became angry at Ravana or something like that, which proves, said he, that the modes of material nature are so powerful that even when God comes into this world, he's affected by them. That is Mayavad philosophy and ridiculous philosophy. This is real Leela. When he comes, he's acting as if he's a human. But everything is transcendental that he does. So that person, intelligent as he was not a great philosopher. He wasn't intelligent enough to understand this philosophy that Vasudeva is saying. Showing clearly that when the Lord comes to this world, he simply is not of this world, although it may appear as if he is. Text 18. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is directly and indirectly existing everywhere. He is outside this material creation, and he is also within it. He is within this material creation not only as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he is also within the atom, Kiridakshay Vishnu, within the atom. And the material energy is also his energy, so it's indirectly him, while he is personally, directly present. Existence is due to his presence. Nothing can be separated from his existence. In the Vedic injunction, we find that the Supreme Soul, or the root cause of everything, has to be searched out, because nothing exists independently of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, the material manifestation is also a transformation of his potency. Both inert matter and the living force, soul, are emanations from him. Only the foolish conclude that when the Supreme Lord appears, he accepts the conditions of matter. Even if he appears to have accepted the material body, he is still not subject to any material conditions. Krishna has therefore appeared and defeated all imperfect conclusions about the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here he's establishing, by his appearance, and Vasudev commenting on his appearance, he's establishing what the philosophy of incarnation actually is. And then if one understands that, then one can understand what his pastimes are. And how exalted and sweet and wonderful his pastimes are. Because if one thinks that he's in Maya, then what are his pastimes? In Maya. And what are those who are serving him? Also in Maya. So therefore, because it's Maya, 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 the people who think like that are called Mayavadis. They think he's in Maya, they think his pastimes are in Maya, and they think those who perform devotional service are also in Maya. So therefore, they are called Mayavadis. And guess who is in Maya? Actually, it's not Krishna. Maya means deluded. Abhajananti mamudha manushyam tanam ashrita. Those who think that ashrita have taken shelter of manushyam, this human form, actually have taken shelter of it, like we've taken shelter of our human bodies. That's what happened with Krishna. Krishna is, he has no body. He is his body. We have bodies. He is his body. His body is composed of Sachidananda Vigraha Nadi Adi Govinda Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vittimanti. Every part of his body is transcendental. Text 19. But in the Krishna book, my Lord, your appearance, existence, and disappearance are beyond the influence of the material qualities. Because your Lordship is the controller of everything and the resting place of the Supreme Brahman, there is nothing inconceivable or contradictory in you. In other words, there is nothing beyond your range of capacity. You can do as you like. Because I can't do it or conceive of it doesn't mean that you can't do it. As you have said, or we could say, I guess he has said it in a different time, because he's going to quote Bhagavad Gita here. Material nature works under your superintendence. What verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Prakriti. It is just like government offices working under the orders of the chief executive. The influence of subordinate activities cannot affect you. The Supreme Brahman and all phenomena are existing within you, and all the activities of material nature are controlled by your Lordship. Text 20. You are called Suklam. Suklam, or whiteness, is the symbolic representation of the Absolute Truth, because it is unaffected by the material qualities. Lord Brahma is called Rakta, or red, because Brahma represents the qualities of passion for creation. Darkness is entrusted to Lord Shiva because he annihilates the cosmos. The creation, annihilation, and maintenance of this cosmic manifestation is conducted by your potency. So on one side we say that you cannot worship the demigods as if they were the Supreme Lord, but it's also offensive to think that they are separate from the Supreme Lord. It's offensive to think of them as equal to the Supreme Lord, but also offensive to think that they're separate from the Lord because they are carrying more or less potencies of the Lord. They have potencies of Him, and they are like Shaktavesh avatars, where the potency of the Lord enters within them. So Krishna, through Brahma, the potency, one of his potencies, his creative potency, the potency of Rajagun, he empowers Brahma with that, and Brahma is therefore called the Guna avatar, the quality of the mode of passion. And Lord Shiva was somewhat different from Brahma. He carries Krishna's Shakti for destruction, the Rudra Shakti. And it's the Shakti of Shankarshan. Holds things together, and then because what holds it all together? There's so much power. The scientists they take particles and they make this huge magnetic field that's 18-20 kilometers around, and they speed the particles up and then smash them into an atomic particle, and so much energy is released. What is that energy? That's ultimately it's going to be a spiritual potency, but it's such a demonic way to get to that energy. It's typical material thing. They just want to crush it, and if they would love to have Krishna and then take a particle and spin it around to see what's inside Krishna, try to break open Krishna. It's so demonic. But actually, there is nothing beyond Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Anadya Adya Govinda. There's nothing inside. He is not different inside than outside. It's just eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So the creation, annihilation, maintenance of a cosmic manifestation is conducted by your potencies through these guna avatars. Yet you are always unaffected by those qualities, as confirmed in the Vedas. Harir hi nirguna shakshad. That means Hari is certainly, the Lord is certainly nirguna, no material qualities. Shakshad, directly no material qualities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always free from all material qualities. It is said that the qualities of passion, ignorance are non-existent in the person of the Supreme Lord, and the goodness that he is composed of is not the goodness of the material world. It is Sudha Sattva, with no contaminations of passion and ignorance. 21. My Lord, you are the supreme controller. So what is Vasudeva saying in all these texts? He's explaining how the Lord, although appearing here in the material world, actually has nothing to do with the material world. My Lord, you are the supreme controller, the personality of Godhead, the supreme great, maintaining the order of this cosmic manifestation. And in spite of your being the supreme controller, just take a moment and think about what it means, the supreme controller. That means there is nothing that is not under his control, or stated in the positive, everything in existence is under his control. Perhaps I'm sleepy now. Ultimately, that's under Krishna's control too. Perhaps I'm in Maya now. That's also under Krishna's control. Perhaps I have this problem or that problem. Or my body's getting old. That's also ultimately in Krishna's control. Everything, there's nothing. The stars. How many stars are there? By the way, quite a few, yes? Too many. Koti. Yes, you know.
No, they did a recent thing, and there are more stars than there are all the grains of sand in every beach.
Yes. That's so many. He's the supreme controller of each and every one of them, and the grains of sand on the beach, and the water in the ocean, and all the little pieces of seaweed in the water in the ocean, all the living entities, and all the living entities on the land, and all the living entities in the air, including the microbes, and every little speck of dust that floats in the air. This is what it means to be the supreme controller. So in spite... So how powerful, just, I mean, it's so hard to even control one's mind, or what to speak of to manage. If you're trying to manage a temple, or manage a small business, or manage a household, it's so difficult. It takes all one has to focus one's energy, and if one neglects it for some time, chaos occurs, simply chaos. Nothing gets ordered by neglect. It takes intelligence, and not only intelligence, power to enforce the intellectual order that one gives. So just imagine or get a glimpse of how powerful the Supreme Controller is. So Vasudeva is saying that so amazing. So, and in spite of you being the supreme controller, you have so kindly appeared in my home, in the prison actually, but he's living there. The purpose of your appearance is to kill the followers of the demonic rulers of the world who are in the dress of the royal princes, but are actually demons. I am sure that you will kill all of them and their followers and soldiers. I understand, text 22, that you have appeared to kill the uncivilized Kamsa and his followers. I think this is the last of his verses, of his prayers. So he's explained this. He's explained that you're so powerful, and yet you've come into this world, but actually you're not in this world. You're so powerful that although you're in the world, you're not in the world at all. Just see how powerful you are. And why have you come? Because you have a mission to kill the demoniac forces in this world. The purpose of your... in the last verse, I understand that you have appeared to kill the uncivilized Kamsa and his followers, but knowing that you were to appear to kill him and his followers, he has already killed so many of your predecessors. Because Krishna is the what number son of Vasudeva Devaki? Eighth son. And all the seven who came prior were killed by Kamsa. Not all. But yes, all but whom? Balaram. Now he is simply awaiting the news of your birth. So something a little contradictory is going to happen here. And Vasudeva himself isn't going to state it. As soon as he hears about it, now he is saying it here, he will immediately appear with all kinds of weapons to kill you. So what's peculiar about that?
Put yourself with so many prayers talking about how he's the supreme controller.
The supreme controller, the all-powerful... Yeah. But yet he's afraid that Kamsa is going to come and kill him like he's killed all the other predecessors. Now Prabhupada doesn't speak about that here, and he doesn't speak about it so much in the Krishna book, but as we go on a little bit, we'll hear in Devaki's prayers, it will explain this mysterious phenomena. Because he has knowledge of who Krishna is, but he's still afraid that Kamsa will come and kill him. How is that possible? So 23 and going into 24. After this prayer, Vasudeva Devaki, the mother of Krishna, because it sounds so funny now that we're talking about that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. He's all-pervading, all-powerful, supreme control, and then we're saying Devaki, the mother of Krishna. Because mother means the cause of the son. But he's the cause of all causes, so how could the the cause have caused his own cause. Not possible. But that's already been explained. He's already explained that, the first thing. So she was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. He's done so many horrible things. Devaki said, "My dear Lord," so her prayers go up to text 31, and perhaps we'll go that far. Yeah, we'll try to go that far to the end of her prayers. "My dear Lord, your eternal forms like Narayan, Lord Ram, Shesha, Varaha, Nrisimha, Vamana, Baladev, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literatures as original." How is that? They're all original, but they all come from him. But yet they are considered equally as powerful and original. "But you are original because all of your forms as incarnations are outside of this material creation. Your form was existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading." They are all eternal and all-pervading. "They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. All your incarnations are all-powerful, all-pervading." What's the example given in the Brahma Samhita? The candle, yes. What's the sloka? I don't know it. But as one candle lights another candle, Dipajaiva Nivasat Yakila. Huh? So one candle that is lit from another candle, and then another candle lit from that candle, and another candle lit from that candle, they all have equal power, but yet there is an original candle. So Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, he is the origin of all others, and they are all considered equally as powerful as Krishna, all the Vishnu Tattva. But actually Krishna has some characteristics that even the Lord Narayan and Vishnu Tattva forms don't have. And those will be revealed later on in the 10th canto. And Srila Rupa Goswami has explained it in Nectar Devotion Bhakti Samhita Sindhu. But Devaki continues, "They are all self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. Not only is your form unlimited, but you have unlimited forms who are unlimited. This is power. This is potency. Your form is not limited by its form, although it is present in one place, it is all-pervading. And not only that, you have unlimited forms. This is the nature of achintya, inconceivable power. This is God. So therefore, Prabhupada would say that when so many people will say, oh, I am God, we are all God, they just lack so much knowledge of what God is. The whole the whole New Age phenomena, the whole Advaita Gyan impersonalists, they're all saying we are God. Raise your hand if you think you're God. You can produce unlimited forms? No. Ridiculous, ignorance, foolish. Prabhupada would say foolish. He would say, how you Westerners are so fall for these kind of things. But also the Indians fall for it too. Everyone falls for these things. This is Kali Yuga. So she continues, "You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. After many millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, And this is also, this purport is also right there in chapter, in the 25th verse of the Bhagavatam. Also, exactly right there. And the 26th is there too. After many millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva again enters by the force of time into the non-manifested total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic Pradhan. Pradhan means the first primal, somewhere between matter and spirit, the first part of creation. And the Pradhan enters into you. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia. So, Vasudeva explained that everything is coming from you. It's all a manifestation of you when you enter into it. And Devaki is explaining just the reverse. It all enters back into you at the time of annihilation. My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the director of the unmanifested total energy. So you cause it all to come out. And then there's all in the breathing of Mahavishnu, a breath, it's all manifested. Back in. This is God. This isn't actually God, but this is just an expansion from an expansion from an expansion from an expansion of Krishna. And you are the ultimate reservoir of the material energy. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything and the reservoir of all potent energies, or even the time shakti, the time power, which is pushing everything forward in the material world. Sometimes we think, boy, this is such a terrible time. And sometimes we think it's all such a good time. But the terrible time will pass, and the good time will also pass, because Krishna's time shakti is unstoppable, unchangeable, and continuously moving. Kalosmin lokachaya krit, Krishna explains in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Time I am, come to destroy everything. Everything in every situation, every moment in the material world will be destroyed. It is being destroyed, and it's unstoppable how it will continuously be destroyed. We don't like that, because we are eternal and we long for a stability. But on the material level, there is no stability. It cannot be, because of this potency of Krishna, unstoppable potency of Krishna called time, kalosmin. Therefore, you are the original director of everything and the reservoir of all potent energies. And 28, therefore, my Lord, I request you save me from the cruel hands of the son of Ugrasena, Kamsa. So look at, she's doing the same thing. She's just said, everything is resting in you. But now, since you're so powerful, please save me from Kamsa. I am praying to your Lordship to please rescue me from this fearful condition, because you are always ready to give protection to your servitors. The Lord has confirmed this statement in the Bhagavad Gita by assuring Arjuna, you may declare to the world, my devotee shall never be vanquished. What text is that in the Bhagavad Gita? So this is very reassuring for the devotees. If you have some little scrawny fellow as your protector who has no potency, no power, how can he protect you? But look who devotees have as their protector. While thus praying to the Lord for rescue, Mother Devaki expressed her motherly affection. I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages. This is 28 and 29. But I am still afraid, because as soon as Kamsa understands that you have appeared, he might harm you. So I request that for the time being you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, she requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child, because there he was in a forum form, and he heard that Vishnu was going to come and kill him, and he was killed all the other children. So she's afraid that he's going to, this boy Vishnu, who's manifesting four arms. So as soon as Kamsa finds out that Vishnu has actually come with four arms, he's going to kill him. But look what she's just said. Look what Vasudeva just said. So Prabhupada will talk about this more in his purports, and as soon as we finish these verses from the Krishna book, we'll read some of these elements. So, my only cause of fear for my brother Kamsa is due to your appearance. So withdraw your arms. My dear, my Lord Madhusudan, Kamsa may know that you are already born. Therefore I request you to conceal this forearm form of your lordship, which holds the four symbols of Vishnu, namely the kansha, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. My dear Lord, at the end of the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, you put the whole universe within your abdomen. Still, by your unalloyed mercy, you have appeared in my womb. I am surprised that you imitate the activities of ordinary human beings just to please your devotees, because mothers love to the child that they have carried. They're always thinking about when will the child come out, when will the child come out. And the mother is meditating on him and feeding him and so happy in there with the child in there. And then, so to facilitate the love of those who want to love him as a mother loves a son, Krishna acts in this way. So Prabhupada says in his purport to 27. About Devaki. Everyone is wandering up and down within this universe, but one who is sufficiently fortunate comes in contact with Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master and takes to the path of devotional service. Then one is assured of eternal life with no fear of death. When Krishna appears, everyone is freed from fear of death. Yet Devaki felt, we are still afraid of Kamsa, although you have appeared as our son. She was more or less bewildered as to why she should be so. And she appealed to the Lord to free her and Vasudeva from this fear. So on one hand, she knew who Krishna was, so she said, why should I be afraid? On the other hand, she was feeling afraid. So she asked Krishna to remove the fear. In text 28, Devaki was so afraid of Kamsa that she could not believe that Kamsa would be unable to kill Lord Vishnu, who was personally present. Out of motherly affection, and here she, because she's obviously bewildered by the Lord's internal energy, because she's just said that after the whole creation, material creation, everything goes back into you. So long after Kamsa's gone, every person for millions of years is gone, you'll be exist with everything in you. But she's still feeling afraid. Out of motherly affection, therefore, she requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to disappear. So this is her motherly affection speaking. This is the internal energy. Although because of the Lord's disappearance, Kamsa would harass her more and more, thinking that the child born of her was hidden somewhere, she did not want the transcendental child to be harassed and killed. Therefore, she requested Lord Vishnu to disappear. Later, when harassed, she would think of him within her mind. 29. Similar. Devaki addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Madhusudan. She was aware that the Lord had killed many demons like Madhu, hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than Kamsa. Yet because of affection for the transcendental child, she believed that Kamsa could kill him. Instead of thinking of the unlimited power of the Lord, she thought of the Lord with affection, and therefore she requested the transcendental child to disappear. And in 30, Devaki was thinking of hiding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not handing him over to Kamsa as she had all her previous children. Although Vasudeva had promised to hand over every child to Kamsa, this time he wanted to break his promise and hide the child somewhere. But because of the Lord's appearance in this surprising forearm form, he would be impossible to hide. So they're asking, please, look like an ordinary child so we can hide you, because we're fearful. And where do they hide him? We'll hear that soon, but we all know. Where do they hide this wonderful boy? In Gokul. They bring him to Mother Yasoda. And the final... stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I didn't quite understand the difference between the functions of Mahavishnu and Garuda.
Mahavishnu lies down in the causal ocean, what's called the causal ocean, the Karana ocean. Karana means cause, and therefore he is called Karana Dakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu. And from him, from his breathing, skin holes, universes emanate. And then, as Garbhadakshai Vishnu, he enters in to each and every one of the millions and millions and millions of universes as Garbhadakshai Vishnu, even though he's there as Mahavishnu. So as Mahavishnu, he's the super soul of material existence. As Garbhadakshai Vishnu, he's the super soul of every universe. And then, in his form as Chiradakshai Vishnu, the third of the Vishnus, he enters not only into the universe, but from Garbhadakshai Vishnu, he expands and enters into every living entity's heart and into every atom of existence. So he's giving life to every aspect of the material creation. So he's called the super soul of every living entity. And of every... he's giving the existence to everything in the form of Chiradakshai Vishnu from that expansion. This is all in the first canto and second canto of the Bhagavatam. Clear?
Chiradakshai Vishnu fulfills the desires of the living entity, is that right, in our hearts. And I wonder, what is his role if he's in the atom? What does he do for the atom?
He maintains its existence. He holds it all together. Otherwise, there would be, without him maintaining everything, everything would cease to exist, or nothing would exist. So he is giving existence to all in existence. Yes.
Natalie, you said similarly that every star in the sky, every grain of sand relies on Krishna for its existence. I'm just wondering, sort of, where do we fit? If it's basically like a matrix of Krishna, and our desires are in there, sort of impacting on that, is it that Krishna allows our desires to be played out in his material energy, so
yes,
that we get our karma and so on?
Yes, yes. Aparyayam idastvanam. There's an active relationship between the living entities and the material energy, but everything is under the supervision, prakriti kriyamarani, of the material mode. So it's not exactly that we do it, but we desire and our karma is there, and then we make our attempt and then Krishna makes it work. Just like now I want to raise my hand. So I think I'm very, it's me who's raising the hand. All I have to do is desire and raise the hand. Pretty good, huh? But how this is working, all I do, it's quite a miraculous thing if you think about it. All I'm doing is some little thought comes to my mind. I'm right hand, move to the madanga and give it three taps, not four. But how does this work? This is quite amazing. What is the relationship between the thought or the desire the thought, the will, and then the actual physical moving, it's not really, we think we're consciously doing it, but actually we're not consciously doing it. Because the muscles have to, there's the nerves are going, the blood. So this is all going on in a miraculous way, although we take everything for granted. This is super soul business.
I was hearing some neurological guy on the radio having a talk, and they're doing these sort of tests on the brain, and they can tell when the thought comes in because it sort of lights up, I'm going to raise my hand. But what they're also finding is actually before the thought comes in, there's part of the brain that fires, which is about raising the hand. So it's actually the hand is getting to be ready to be raised before the actual thought of raising the hand is coming in.
So what happens? What's going on? Nor do they know.
It's the wrong way around.
Yeah. Thinking, feeling, willing, we say. But it's quite, everything is actually a chinti, inconceivable. And the more, you know, there's a saying, you know, the more the scientists know, if they're good scientists, they understand, the less they know. The more you know, the more you delve deeply, the more complicated you see things actually are. When you're in the fourth grade and they give you a little model of an atom, you know, with the neutrons and the protons and the electrons all spinning around, you think you understand everything, it's so simple, but the actual scientists who actually have studied it deeply don't understand anything. That's the big scientists are very humble due to their science. The little ones are, the fourth grade scientists are all proud. The little ones are proud and the big ones are humble. The Einsteins and the whatever, they're more humble.
It's interesting the correlation between the fact that Devaki and Vasudev knew all these things. Of course, they're transcendental, but if you compare them to our own situation, they knew all of these things, but then because of their pure affection for Krishna, and it's as if they acted and thought immediately or felt on a different level, and how that was due to their transcendental attachment. And it seems with us also that we can hear so many things and know so many things, but
Their transcendental affection is under the control of the internal energy. For them, the knowledge is down from their love. But we're, because we have our knowledge, but we're more under the control of the external energy. So the knowledge it brings us up.
So if we don't think properly, if we're not attentive when we're hearing all the characteristics of their circumstance, we can very quickly assume that it's not the same as our own.
Except that they love Krishna. And their realization. And Krishna they were so amazed that Krishna actually came to them.
But their realization is there that they have fear. Realization, I have fear.
But their fear is for Krishna. Is Krishna centered, and our fears tend to be selfishly false ego centered.
So I think it's to be in the position that, and obviously the predominant mood is Vatsalya, it's parental.
Yeah.
So then, is these prayers that we understood as an interesting pastime where jnana is to grow a capital?
Well, Vasudeva and Devaki, it goes back and forth in this way. They have the knowledge, like Kunti Devi.
Yeah.
But we see the pure, the Shuddha Vatsalya Ras. We'll see that soon in Vrindavan, where the knowledge is there, but the one way to look at it is that they have knowledge and their affection is powerful. So sometimes it overpowers their knowledge, but the knowledge is still there. But in Vrindavan, the affection is so extreme that it completely overpowers the knowledge. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about the universal form, but when Mother Yasoda sees the universal form coming from Krishna, she says, why you have eaten dirt? What is this, some demigod is making me a little crazy? So the way to look at it actually is the speciality of the power of the affection of the resonance of endowment. So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we shall finish this chapter.
I remember when Krishna first went to before he was born, then Vasudeva, he went to his mind and into his heart,
yeah.
And was transferred to
the heart of Devaki.
Heart of Devaki, and then went to home.
Yeah.
And then Krishna was born. Is there a significant? I mean, he does not need to go through like to the womb to be born.
Right, but yet
why
he
is it that is it to give them some?
Because so the question is asked. You know, why did he take his birth from the womb? Because clearly there wasn't the same process of having a child. He first took the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Because Devaki was carrying him, so she was having the full experience of motherhood.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it that he appeared in Mathura and he was born in Vrindavan?
That comes later. That's described.
This is an appearance rather than a.
But no, but it also describes that he was in the womb, too. But then, so the point is made, Krishna is all pervading. So for him to appear from the womb is not difficult. He can appear from anywhere because he's already there. He's all pervading. He's in the womb, he's in here, he's everywhere. Was that different from your point?
Yeah, he didn't go through a birthing process in Mathura.
Right, but he was in the womb and he seemed to have.
And the demigods were coming and seeing her pregnant,
yeah.
And understanding. But then his appearance.
Then he appeared.
Like in,
well, it doesn't describe any of the quite details on it.
One of those things where you think sort of say, well, what can we do? It's really awesome.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the only one who can do whatever he likes. What do you think about that, Tim?
Alright, pretty good.
But it's hard to accept that I'm not him and I can't do whatever I like. Very hard to accept. Okay, thank you. Bhagavatam ki jai, Krishna's breath ki jai, Vasudeva Deva ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. All about the book.